Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
May 2nd, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you're looking for, even though I might not be quite recognizable via my voice. Welcome to it. Here we are. Oh, boy. Tuesday. And it's not the second broadcast day of the week because, well, I was trying to rest a bit, but I wanted to do a special show tonight with a friend of mine that I haven't gotten to talk to at all really recently. A little bit privately, we've been able to exchange texts, but he hasn't been on the show. I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to him. He's been busy. Maybe he'll talk about some of the things that have happened since the last time that he was on the show. But we'll find out. And also, with the celebration of the 10 years of the O'Chelly Effect and all that good stuff, he'll be part of the Magic Bullet thing, too, pretty soon, whether he knows it or not. Because we did, for a little while, do Porkins Policy Radio here on O'Chelly.com. After it was on American Freedom Radio, and of course after it was a long time podcast all by itself elsewhere, it was over here on O'Chelly.com, and you'll be in the master archives there, Pierce. So I actually have a bullet shaped thumb drive that's going to come out this year, and it's going to be O'Chelly's Magic Bullet, and it'll be the full 10 years of everything that's gone on the past decade.
Oh, that's so good.
Including shows I produced, which, you know, remember a long time ago I asked about using your show in the archives. So finally that's coming to fruition.
Okay. Excellent.
And anyway, that was a lot of fun. We had a little trouble with your show here and there, got a little controversy, this and that. But what else
did
is
we?
New?
Do we have controversy?
Yeah. You were one of the first, like, I've now been completely stripped from YouTube. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I did know that. I did know that a little.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, my shows caused some of that?
Well, your show was part of the first time that I think I was taken down, and I got it back because there was a Whitney Webb interview.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I took that one down myself voluntarily.
But anyway, yeah, but what happened is I had it on YouTube, and nobody said anything for a while, and it was taken down under the weirdest of circumstances. It was part of a couple of things that got taken down. You ready for this one? I was cyberbullying, according to that show and another show of my own. We were cyberbullying Jeffrey Epstein, just so you know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Of course, he was dead, so I don't know how you cyberbully a dead guy.
Right. Well, maybe not when I did the one with Whitney. I think he was still alive at that point.
Well, he might have been then, but it was taken down along with another one that I did, which was apparently part of a cyberbullying thing. So
weird.
But he was dead by the time this happened.
Yeah. So I don't know who was offended by that. Maybe.
I don't know.
Ghislaine or some other figure connected. Well, I mean, he is dead, but he obviously is still, you know, living on in many ways.
Well, here we go. The zombie Epstein effect. What, you know, and it's so funny because you and I have spent a lot of time talking about it, unfortunately. And we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight, right? I mean, what is,
indeed.
Yeah, because.
Well, just if I can jump in, Chuck, just wanted to say it's really good to be back. It is like surreal. And I was actually getting quite nervous. I was saying off air, my sister was hanging out with us, just a few minutes ago. And I kept kind of being like, okay, I gotta, like, Chuck's about to call. I gotta get ready. So I was nervous and it's great to be back. It's great to, hear your voice. You know, as you said, we've just really been texting. I haven't talked to you. I haven't talked to Aaron in, quite some time outside of just, you know, texting here and there. So, it's good. It's good to be back. I'm excited. I hope this is, you know, maybe not just like a once off, and hopefully maybe we can, do some more shows like this.
Oh no, look, I need you. If you want to come on and comment on and discuss and try and rationally go through some things, I definitely need you. I mean, if you take a look, well, we could talk about the news cycle today if you wanted to, but I'm almost not in the mood because, weirdly, I'm watching long tirades on CNN about... you ready for this one? They're letting guys on there talk about how, you know, illegal immigrants are dangerous. And because this guy, you know, apparently, I don't know, shot and killed a bunch of people in Texas and had come across the border a bunch of times illegally. That's an unusual spot.
And killed other illegal immigrants. Right. That's the story that Abbott is
so far
sort of putting out there.
Yeah, but it's weird to have Anderson Cooper letting a guy go on and on about that. there's something odd going on at CNN. They just fired Don Lemon too.
I know. You know, when I saw that, I instantly Amy was like, "Oh wow, they got Don Lemon," and I turned and was just like, Chuck will be happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that. But you know what I'm not happy about is the recent embrace of alt media by of Tucker Carlson, who was also let go recently.
Yeah, I know. I saw that as well. Just, you know, everyone coming out of the woodwork to somehow, you know, that he was some sort of voice of reason. And I actually saw, I don't know what podcast Tucker was on, but it was some kind of, you know, one of these kind of like right wing, vaguely alternative podcasts that, you know, had Tucker Carlson on and he's talking about, you know, the Epstein conspiracy and all of the,
right,
you know, things that are wrong with it. And I suppose that he did talk maybe somewhat about that on the show. But I mean, you know, to listen to Tucker Carlson, you would think this guy has never believed the official story. Has always been dying to sort of uncover, you know, stuff related to it, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know what this embrace of Tucker Carlson from both seemingly kind of left and right alternative media.
Right. Well, the weird thing is that alt media started to embrace him not too long ago because of a couple of things. One, he allowed a legit JFK person on his show to talk about the document dump. A guy I knew and had on this show like the day after, right? And it was like, well, that's odd, first of all. but secondly, he had come out at some point and done a presentation where he said, look, the CIA was somehow involved in Kennedy's assassination. Now, he didn't say anything of substance along with that. He just made that statement, like kind of dropped it and left, right? He had also made some other statements out there that were, you know, about the vaccine and this and that. And he started ingratiating himself to the alternative media. And a lot of alt media people in recent times, I've taken note, have sort of like done the whole mild embrace of him, much like they did with RT. Now, I've been talking to you about that for years.
For sure.
Where RT has become legitimized, right? And I kept saying for many years, like, why are you guys embracing a government media-run outlet, you know? Well, look, they got Lee Camp on there. They tell some truth. I'm like, yeah, when it's convenient to their agenda. And you got to understand that's the way things work. But a lot of people are like, well, at least Fox News is willing to go the other way on some stuff where they're not just with the official story, right? They've embraced the alternative. And Tucker has embraced the alternative. A lot of people think he has.
Sure.
And it's just been this weird phenomena. And then I see this as a new shuffle. This is a new, you know, Glenn Beck being introduced. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And also, it goes along with the, well, Alex Jones is just not filling the role anymore. Okay. Number one. Number two, Bill O'Reilly was cut loose.
And nothing really came of that,
no.
Right? He has a podcast, but I don't know a soul that listens to it, even right-wingers.
Yeah, he's unsuccessfully out there floating around. I mean, the weirdest thing is that he now is a regular guest on with Chris Cuomo, who is on like a...
Really?
Yeah, who is on like a Christian alt network. News Nation. You ever heard of it?
Familiar. Okay. I'm just sort of Googling Chris Cuomo as we're talking about that.
You got to check out Meathead. He's pretty funny. He's over there on the Christian News Network, right? And Bill O'Reilly is like one of his regular people. And he shows up and he gives, you know, Bill O'Reilly swag to his producers, and they got a whole show me thing going.
Wow.
Like as a constant. And Bill O'Reilly is just not as marketable to young people as they might have thought he was.
No, I don't even know if he's marketable to old people.
I don't know who he's marketable to. No, I mean, he's got some money behind him, but other than that, I don't know if he's successfully spreading, right? Glenn Beck had the Blaze for a bit. And again, this is one of those, you know, the alt embraced Glenn Beck because he got, you know, unceremoniously dismissed from the MSM. I have all the pieces here. I just don't know how to articulate it. What happens is you introduce somebody who was successful in the MSM into the alt media, and what it's doing is clogging up all of the lanes that are available to real independent media, right? And these guys come out as, oh, I'm legit because I actually got myself fired. I mean, look, O'Reilly was fired for misconduct. So,
and in a way, Tucker Carlson is kind of, I mean, it was misconduct in terms of, you know, he's bad mouthing all these people at Fox.
Yeah, but notice how well timed that was. Look, Fox is going to absorb this giant, you know, Dominion lawsuit, right?
Yes.
Now, they can absorb it. People are like, oh, they're never going to pay that off. I'm like, yeah, you don't realize the profit margin over there. I mean, it's going to hurt them a little.
Yeah, but I think it's going to make a major impact on, you know, their programming or budgets for, you know, some of these other people.
Well, no,
I don't even know who's still there anymore. Brett Baer, you know.
Well, no, Brett, but they're shifting around and preparing for the 2024 run, right?
Well, yeah, and that's true.
They were positioning themselves as like maybe not being with Trump, but what are you going to do if he's the, you know, Republican choice?
Well, and I wonder how much of that too is also a little bit of they're assuming it's going to be him and Tucker Carlson for all of his, you know, sort of praising and bootlicking. I mean, he doesn't really seem to be maybe as pro-Trump as many of the Fox News viewers are. Mm-hmm. You know, and that I think kind of maybe backfired as well. Some of the, you know, some of the stuff, you know, connected to the election, which still seems to be this, I don't know it still plays, I guess, very heavily within Trump's, you know, circle.
You got stolen election. Okay. You have, you know, a side with Trump because he's fighting the deep state, publicly. Yeah. You've got, he was given the access and ability to play the January 6th, videos, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, look, combine all that stuff. Think about that collectively. This is him getting street cred as a true alternative voice. Because look, eventually they had to kick him out of there because he's just not going along with the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can offer him as what? The controlled opposition. See, because I still stand with the idea that the whole Trump thing is the steam valve. This is the way to divert legitimate dissent into, well, go this way, okay? You're sick of political correctness. You're sick of, you know, the business as usual. You're sick of the liberals taking stuff over, you know, the culture wars. Like, I crack up with certain things because, you know, it's like the amplification of what is a relatively a small thing sometimes, but they amp it up with the culture wars. I mean, right now, you've got the governor of Florida well engaged with a battle with Disney.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, it's bizarre.
And traveling around the world, meeting with foreign leaders like he's already the president.
Sure. But does he have the personality to pull it off? Is anybody going to buy that this guy gets legitimate support? And again, looking at the polls, and then you got to introduce into it another weird part of the equation, which is RFK Jr. now legitimately running, right?
Well, right, right.
So this is a different landscape if he gets any kind of traction. I mean, so far he steps in, he gets like 17%, according to polls, right, of what could be the potential Democratic vote right away. Nobody's pleased with Biden, okay, nobody, right? You have Trump coming back no matter what. Everybody's like, oh, we're waiting on all these different things. They're going to prosecute him in New York and Georgia. Da, da. Well, I don't see any of it going anywhere. And in fact, as soon as we get within a certain striking distance of the 2024 selection date, it's all going to come to a stop under the same excuse as before, which is this would be interfering with the political process, right? Mm. So I'm just saying, I see a bunch of positioning where there's going to be a whole lot of options for all sorts of controlled opposition. And at the end of the day, you're just going to get, you know, something else off of the menu of crap of just, you know, an old man who is just going to be a placeholder, legitimately, not really representing the majority of the public, not representing the will of the people, not representing, you know, reasonable sanity, and we'll get a whole lot of nothing done as usual, right? I mean.
No, correct.
So, all right, anyway, I'll shut up now, but I'm just saying that the Tucker Carlson thing to me is just trying to smear some credibility on him as an alternative voice, to offer him out into the wilderness, so to speak, where he'll, you know, suddenly have plenty of money to run his own thing, or he'll show up, you know, on some other network temporarily and get booted from there too, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll be that. You know,
but you know what I find? Well, one is I think I don't know why this is, I was thinking this the other day, but like the, you know, the bellwether will be, does he appear on Joe Rogan? You know, cause it, like, I feel like, you know, if he does, then it's like, oh, who knows? You know, it's like this sort of, the sky is the limit, for Tucker Carlson at that point. But I, you know, in all seriousness, I do see that. Is I'm sure Joe Rogan would love to get him on, and that is such a like a great platform to you know, he can come off as this really reasoned person who, you know, oh, I'm not really left, I'm not really right, you know, and he can talk about Jeffrey Epstein, he can talk about, you know, COVID-19 and all, whatever it is that, you know, is sort of like the hot button thing for him at the moment, and he can seem like this really, you know, interesting person. So that to me is one thing, you know, is if, you know, if he does that, right? But the other thing I found interesting, just sort of thinking about this the past couple of days, with the, you know, him leaving and this, oh, he is this, you know, he was, I don't know, trying to sort of speak out while at Fox, and, you know, he's been trying to push all of these different things that you know, his bona fides in terms of his alt media credentials. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because then I saw this stuff with Tucker Carlson talking about how, you know, he never believes that any of the Epstein stuff. He is very open on podcasts talking about that he does, you know, he thinks Epstein was murdered. He won't say deep state, but he, you know, that's the implied, you know, implicit sort of, you know, moniker that he's using for that. And at the same time, like shortly after he gets booted, the Wall Street Journal, the parent company for, you know, both, you know, Fox News and the Wall Street Journal being Rupert Murdoch, but they're all under the same, you know, News Corp, right?
News Corp,
the Wall Street Journal comes out with this, you know, Epstein's private calendar. He's right. Meeting with the CIA director and Noam Chomsky and a lot of other prominent liberal figures, the president of Bard College, this lawyer worked at Goldman Sachs and was also an Obama appointee. And there was just something about that just and then, you know, and all these people, I you know, I saw a lot of people online pointing out, oh, you know, it's all these Obama officials and right. Ehud Barak, you know, so there's a you know, a Jewish quote unquote element to all of this. And it, you know, it's so funny that the whole thing, one is the a few things that struck me about that. Very early on in the journal article, and I'll try to find it, but there's a line where they talk about Epstein's death, and the two writers who wrote this, they seem to be implying that without sort of overtly saying it, that Epstein was murdered in prison, which I did think was interesting. You know, even you know, this is a legitimate mainstream newspaper that is kind of, you know, they're not saying it flat out, but I can't remember the exact language, but I read that as, you know, allegedly. you know, killed in prison.
Right.
And yet the whole article, while being interesting, and I do think it's important, and I get why people were sort of excited about it. And to me, I was like, it was shocking the amount of times he met with William Burns,
yep.
the you know, CIA director, and to be like, oh, I had no idea what this guy was up to, and this person is supposed to be in charge of, you know, all of the activities of a spy agency, mm-hmm. is laughable at best. But
right.
the whole piece seemed just along the lines of what you're talking about, completely controlled opposition, very deliberate. You know, and this is what I didn't understand from a lot of people. You know, they're pointing to all these Obama officials. Now, granted, this was, you know, a lot of these meetings were happening while Obama was president. So it makes sense that, you know, if Epstein is this mover and shaker, he would be going to the, you know, the people that are in power. But I don't believe for a second that the Wall Street Journal acquired, and to my knowledge, I don't know where, I'm not sure where they got this, if this was leaked to the Wall Street Journal. I don't know that this is, you know, it wasn't, I don't know if this was like in a, like court documents or what. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it being clear there. And all of the, you know, all of the articles covering this all point to, as, you know, disclosed in the Wall Street Journal. You know, they're not right. linking, or they're not saying something else. So I don't know how the Wall Street Journal got this, but to believe that in, I don't know, whatever, all these, you know, I don't know, scores of emails, they're only Democrat politicians mm-hmm. that Epstein is talking to, is just laughable.
Right.
And the funny thing, you know, and this is all coming again, like, this is, I believe Rupert Murdoch is in the little black book. You know, Epstein's book.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they knew each other, and this is coming through his news outlet, which right. also controls Fox.
Right.
And you know, and it's all, it's like only, I mean, it is sort of like a conservative's wet dream. You got Noam Chomsky, who people are making such a big deal. And I mean, he is obviously a very, you know, influential individual, and he's very famous, but I don't know really anyone on the left that actually takes him seriously, you know, outside of other kind of old fogies. So, you know, but it's like Noam Chomsky, a bunch of Obama officials, including the CIA director, Ehud Barak.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you've got that tickles the funny bone for every, you know, that every person out there, conspiracy theorist, that sees some sort of Jewish element behind everything.
Right.
And it just seems like, I don't know. The timing of that I found very interesting. They're kicking Tucker Carlson out. They're coming out with this big expose detailing all of this stuff about Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, just leaving out the fact that, you know, obviously he was close with Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
you know, I mean, he's close with – and also at the same time as this, I don't know if anyone else noticed this. And this is, and I say this, you know, full disclosure, as somebody who's kind of out of the loop with a lot of news stuff, and certainly with a lot of the Epstein stuff, I've barely been kind of keeping abreast of stuff. But, you know, you've got, on the one hand, the Wall Street Journal feeding out this story. On the other hand, Steve Bannon, who's yep. his own legal troubles, but is still kind of touted as this, you know, he's fighting the good fight against, you know, the liberals and, you know, the New World Order and all that stuff. He was making a documentary with Jeffrey Epstein. He was interviewing
yeah.
him. He was going back and forth to his house. There are tapes online. There's like a trailer for this movie before Epstein was arrested, obviously. But, you know, it's – I don't know. That somehow seems to kind of – has just completely skirted any kind of scrutiny from these same people that are going to, you know, so I don't know. I mean, maybe they're not totally related, but the Wall Street Journal piece felt very deliberate. It felt like a very sanitized mm-hmm. version of whatever these emails are.
Right.
And I don't know. I found it also interesting, too, that you've got Tucker Carlson talking about Jeffrey Epstein suddenly. And I mean, to me, again, it just felt like, you know, he's trying to be like, oh, you know, the media is covering this up.
Right. But see, now here's the fun part. Notice the similarity, though, because like Tucker Carlson coming out with the whole the CIA had something to do with JFK's murder. They drop a statement out there. They don't tell you where they're getting the information from. They don't tell you how they came to this conclusion. They just put it out there. And then what happens is it reverberates by, as you said, now other people are going, well, this came out through here. And that's it. There's no, like, where did this come from? Exactly where was the evidence garnered? You know, none of that comes through. It's dropped as a statement, and now it is a tell for anybody who wanted that piece of the puzzle, right? And if you wanted all the liberal side of the equation to be caught up with Epstein, now you're satisfied. Forget about the fact that, oh, you know, Trump went, but, you know, he just went there with his family for a vacation, you know. Yeah. Some of that wasn't even real. All right, fine. You know, forget about all those people, forget about all the, you know, not necessarily even political people at all, but just the media people that were tied with them. Like, it stands to reason after a minute. Like, what in the hell is the good and proper purpose for all of these people to be interlocked with this guy, right?
Yes.
Like, what purpose does it serve? Like, the CIA director.
What is he doing?
Yeah.
I mean, what is Noam Chomsky, Jeffrey Epstein, and Woody Allen all doing together?
We can make jokes about, Woody Allen. I mean, let's leave Woody Allen out for a second, but let's go back to Noam. What is Noam Chomsky doing with Jeffrey Epstein?
I haven't the foggiest idea. I mean, supposedly talking about geopolitics or something.
Okay, well, why?
You know, I mean, it's, and, you know, I will say that the thing with the Chomsky one. So this is the thing. When you look at, like, William Burns, you look at, you know, these Goldman Sachs people. I forgot the other person that they mention in this is – and it's just like – again, it's too good to be true. Arianne de Rothschild. So not an actual – you know, yeah. She married into the Rothschild family.
Sure, why not?
But, again, I mean, it's you've got Rothschild, banking – Jews, you know, I mean, it really is just it. When I was reading it, I was just like, "Oh my god, this is just crack for a certain type of conspiracy theorist."
All you need
that I know
is
very well.
Yeah. All you need is Barack Obama himself, okay?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And like, you know, Hillary and two well known lesbians to be on the plane at the same time, and that's it. You're set.
You've hit the trifecta, you know, or superfecta of all
right.
of these. But, you know, those, the William Burns, the Goldman people, that almost to me kind of makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you believe that Jeffrey Epstein, you know, had to have been some kind of asset that was, or someone that certainly was utilized by intelligence services.
Utilized by somebody.
You know, it makes sense that Burns is talking to him. These, like, Goldman, I mean, what's his, Jeff Stately? Was his former J.P. Morgan executive. He worked at Barclays, who, you know, and now he's embroiled in probably one of the more sort of, I don't know if big is the right word, but it's certainly a much larger sort of legal battle right now. He's being sued by multiple people in connection to his very close relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. There are apparently a lot of emails between the two of them talking about young women, talking about, you know, they would call them by these different Disney princess names. I mean, you know, that also, I mean, seems like there is a straight sort of sexual angle to it.
Right.
But also finance, you know, he was Epstein, for whatever, whether he was a billionaire or he wasn't a billionaire, he certainly was involved in finance. He was involved in moving money, and he knew that world. So all of these business people make sense. Noam Chomsky really just sounds like
what the hell?
Noam Chomsky wanted to diddle little girls and, you know, knew that his entree into that was Epstein. I really don't know what the hell else they would actually have to, you know, interesting to discuss. And Noam Chomsky is sort of like, his response to these Wall Street Journal inquiries is just, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's sort of like, well, it's none of your business who I hang out with. And, you know, what's wrong with hanging out with him and one of the greatest film directors of all time?
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's the other strange thing is, you know, how many of the Hollywood people, I don't know, this seems to be lacking heavily in the Hollywood people this time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, right, exactly. I mean, it's like, wow, Woody Allen, that's about it.
Yeah.
It just, I don't, the whole thing, again, it's just like, you've got So these people, again, we're meant to believe, or we're you know, the sort of implied, you know, thesis with all of this is, and it's true, these people knew, or they should have known, that he had served time for solicitation of underage prostitution, this ridiculous, crime that he copped to. Right. And again, Noam Chomsky thing is like, well, you know, he did his time, so what? Like, again, like, oh, well, I believe in prison reform and you know, rehabilitation. And, you know, yeah, right. For a guy that, I mean, what was it, you know, I mean, I'm repeating myself to probably a million, you know, all the listeners, but, you know, private cell in the prison. He was going in and out of the prison, you know, all day. He's going around. The prison guards are supposed to be watching him, aren't paying attention. I mean, it's not like this guy was like, you know, in Rikers doing time.
Yeah, no. And the weirdest thing still it never addressed is how a guy ends up in Trump's cabinet who, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
I'm not, and by the way, I'm not trying to harp on the right wing, because here's the thing. It is very possible that it is much heavier on the liberal or democratic side of the equation, that we have a much heavier traffic here. I am not even going to challenge that. That's very possible. But the fact that they're not there at all, you know, there's nobody on that other side being shown here. Listen,
so there, all these people, you know, they should have known, or they did know, right? But at least in the Wall Street Journal stuff, and even with this former banking executive, Jess Stentley, they all, at a certain point, you know, even if it was like late in the game, they all did eventually kind of cut off contact.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I would have to really kind of go back and look at the dates that they're stating. A lot of those, I would assume, coincide with different kind of stories coming out about him.
Right.
Whether it be 2016, 2018, even, or, you know, 2010, when I started kind of becoming obsessed with it.
Well, you go back,
2012.
You look at the controversies that came out, you look at the different times when there were, and there have been various waves, right, of documentaries, of, you know, news programs that investigated, some
podcasts,
of them didn't air stuff,
I mean,
podcasts. So the thing is, different levels of awareness could have come about. And somebody could have finally said, oh, you know what, maybe it's just better I stop returning this guy's calls.
Right.
You know.
But Steve Bannon, he definitely knew.
Well, see, now that's...
And he's going over to his house, like, you know, months before he's arrested.
Right.
And same with Michael Wolff as well. You know, the sort of tabloid... I'm not being mean, but right?
You.
Was it Michael Wolff, right? The writer,
I believe so. Yeah.
Same thing. Like they're all hanging out together, going over to his house. Steve Bannon's making an Epstein film with him. I mean, I don't know what. I guess it's just like, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, Steve Bannon knew what was going on, and in fact, I mean, he sort of famously alluded to that. Hitting out against Ivanka Trump. In relation to her father's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
He's publicly stated that. So, yeah, I don't know. We're probably just sort of beating a dead horse here. But
yeah, well, it's okay.
It did feel it was weird.
Maybe I'm cyberbullying a dead horse, but sorry.
Well, no, it just felt very odd the way that this story kind of just came out of nowhere, seemingly.
Right.
And exactly who it was targeting. Same thing, you know, president of Bard College. Obviously, that's not going to play well, you know, for, Midwestern Republican, you know, conservatives. And I'm sort of painting a broad brush, but, you know, it's a very, you know, she rich, East Coast school.
No,
of course,
when you see something like this that's not coming out of the dog pile, though. Right, where, look, you know that when the momentum is against somebody, okay, like when Ghislaine was on trial, you knew that a lot of this kind of stuff, you know, if it drops, you expect it, right? They're definitely gonna try and get clicks, they're gonna try and get, you know, I don't think anybody sells papers anymore, but you're gonna get clicks, you're gonna get, you know, your little online subscriptions, this is what's gonna happen, right? And hey, if you carry the stuff, you're gonna get traffic because people are interested at the time, right? There's a new Filthy Rich on Netflix, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is weird timing. Because unless they're trying to be the opening salvo in something and get ahead of something else that's about to drop, what is the point? I don't think there's a trial going on. You know, almost dead silence on whatever's gone on with the estate, right? Have we heard anything from that lately? Have we heard anything from the victims lately as far as are they still going after things? I'm sure there's still things, you know, in the works in the courts, but is there any news coverage on it lately? I haven't seen it.
No, no, I don't think there is. I mean, outside of, you know, Tom Green made some comments on TikTok or Twitter, Instagram or something, you know, about the, this big bombshell. They're gonna name all the names with Epstein. And that's why, you know, they were releasing stuff about, remember with the UFOs, the weather balloons, and
right.
They were all meant, you know,
yeah.
So that was it. And I don't know. Sorry, Tom, but that never really, none of that really happened. I mean, there's these names, a few, you know, which is not that interesting. You know, and I don't think it's really going to come too much.
I mean, there was some news story a couple of months ago, something about, you know, Ghislaine was, again, there were complaints on her behalf about how she was being treated in custody, right? And there was some kind of suggestion in some of the fringe publications that there may be a time where she drops some information out there that she's previously withheld in order to get herself a better, you know, a better facilities to be in or something, you know, to try and make a deal. I saw something like that, and I think that was at about the beginning of the year, right? And dead silence ever since. We didn't see anything. I mean, is this potentially part of that? Is that why nobody's stressing, you know, the source for this?
It could be. But this is supposedly emails and stuff. Also, you're telling me in all of these to go back to that, I think that I'm sure Maxwell knows all sorts of stuff.
I mean, I'm not suggesting I know a damn thing here. I want to make that clear.
I'm sure Maxwell knows all sorts of things, but the fact that she hasn't talked is telling. And
that's weird.
You know, right, but I mean, well, one, if we want to like really, you know, start exploring it out, there is you know, Donald Trump's bizarre comments while still president about wishing her well, and I just wish her well. You know, he kept repeating that in some news conference. I mean, that was one of the strangest things, again, which gets no traction, but, you know, he's fighting the deep state. That, again, I mean, had to have been a message that it's like, listen, if you don't say anything, you know, it's going to be better for you, and this is my way of letting you know that everything is cool, just don't say anything.
You see, I pointed that out at the time, and of course, you know, people went to the very easy explanation of that, where it's like, look, the only reason why anybody's pointing at that is because they hate Trump. And look, I grant you, I am not a fan of the guy, okay?
Yeah, but why
obviously
say it at all?
But the thing is, it's just so weird that he would make that kind of comment where it's like, obviously, that implies that he gives a crap, first of all, because, you know, if you don't know her.
He wishes her well?
Yeah, if you don't know her, you don't care, it's not part of anything that you're concerned with, then, you know, what? I got nothing to say about that. You know what I mean? And especially him. He's very much, I mean, if anybody's going to argue with me, whether they're a fan of his or not, that he's egocentric, that he's going to, you know, the entire universe revolves around what is good and bad for Donald Trump, right? When it comes to his public pronouncements, whether he's president or he's doing what he's doing now and going through, you know, everybody's making a big deal for about a week. Oh, you know, E. Jean Carroll is going to make this big statement, going to get him on this rape trial. And he doesn't even show up for that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it's a weird thing for him to go, well, all I have to say. I mean, he literally intentionally was like, I just want, you know, I just
want to
wish him well.
Know.
I want everybody to know I wish her well. Like, weird.
Well,
you know?
Again, I think that was a way of saying, well, one is like, don't say anything. Like, you're better off just keeping your mouth shut. Stick to the trial. Don't try to play like some sort of, you know, pardon the turn of phrase, but don't play a Trump card and be like, well, here's the, you know, this is where the Bill Clinton tape is. Right. You know, don't say anything. Because again, I mean, why doesn't she, could spill the beans about any number of people. I mean, and, you know, if we're both, I think, being honest about it, you're probably right, Chuck. She could really spill a lot more beans about Democrats or so-called, you know, liberals and I mean, because it does seem for as, and I think that, that Epstein kind of was an equal opportunity,
I mean, a
but it
massive.
Does seem, you know, those relationships do seem to be a little bit more solid. The stuff, I mean, with the Clinton Foundation, that's not made up. Like that does seem to be, his connections to certainly that, sort of, wing of politics, it does seem a little bit more solid. Right. But she didn't say anything. I think she might have also realized, I mean, who knows? Was Epstein talking to his lawyers? I'm going to name names. I'm going to do this. I mean, who knows?
Well, even stranger than that, let's step back again one more time, and then I'm going to let you just run the last 10 minutes here because we're only going to go straight up to As I Speak Live, which, by the way, there's a problem with the streamer, so I don't know if we're broadcasting or not. But it doesn't matter. We're being recorded. As we speak live, though, I got about 10 more minutes to talk to you, so I'm going to let you roll with this after this. But it's something else to consider. You know, people often complain about the liberal media and how they're run by, you know, and all of that, and Fox is like an opposition. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Let's face some facts here, all right? And try to take the politics out of the equation for a second. If you wanted to do a general takedown of the media, okay, just in general, the amount of powerful and influential people, from my understanding, and maybe I'm misreading things, but across the board, you got a serious takedown of the establishment media that could be had here. Because I saw names, you know, everywhere from, Katie Couric to Oprah Winfrey, right?
Stephanopoulos.
I mean, all across the board, mostly liberal media. But let's just go with establishment media. You could take down so many people if the real dirt came out, if any of those implications are remotely true, right? Plus the Clintons, plus the whole left wing, right? I mean, this is tailor-made to be weaponized by somebody who wants to do exactly what that Wall Street Journal article does, except on a massive scale, with real evidence, right? No, not only do we have, you know, emails and this and that, but guess what? Ghislaine knows where, you know, the tapes of the bodies are buried. Okay, not the bodies. All right? And how that has not been somehow grabbed, how that's not been, again, weaponized by somebody who wants to score those points, it's baffling to me. How is it that Ghislaine has not made a deal somehow to get her sentence reduced, get better living situation, get something out of it? How is it that some other associate has not been even maybe, you know, where's the other associates being brought to trial? It's not just, they're not Bonnie and Clyde here, okay? There's got to be a lot of other people involved. How come all of it's not dropping? What, they're all dead? You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a serious open question about if you wanted to take down the media in general, liberal or otherwise, but liberal definitely. Either way, if you just wanted to generally kick the two of the legs out from the four-legged table of the media, you could do it with the Epstein evidence, couldn't you? So why is that not happening in your mind?
I think because the whole Epstein saga from the very beginning has always really just been about politics and politicizing the Epstein's relationship with, you know, with other people for political ends.
Right.
And for whatever reason, from the beginning, again, you can go all the way back to Radar Online, you know, and a few other sort of, you know, kind of gossipy news sites that were reporting on him when no one else was. And it was always, his connection to Bill Clinton.
Right.
Never, you know, the Donald Trump stuff was you kind of did need to like really search for that in the early days. You know, it was certainly there, and you know, a lot of people were talking about it, but it was not as like readily available. It was not, you know, something that, you know, you had to kind of look for it. And then even that was like, there were these pictures that you know, you could find in like, you know, Getty and other photography sites like that. But there weren't these sort of, you know, more salacious stories like this one in that golf magazine that no longer exists, where, you know, Trump is holding his plane up for Epstein and Maxwell and some young woman.
Well, and then there's slowly but surely stuff like that piece of video where the two of them are making, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. It's like, right, like, but that took years,
right,
to come out. You know, from the beginning, it was always, well, it's, you know, Bill Clinton is a perv, and of course he's close with Epstein, and unfortunately I think that
I fully accept, but
no, ahead. So do I, and I think that probably, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, well, you know what it was, it was just sort of it's the, you know, the thing about that is, yeah, I think that relationship is super it's real, and there's a lot to it. And if you look at some of this stuff, you know, where Epstein's claiming to be part of the Clinton Foundation and, you know, those sort of things,
right,
yeah, that's big. But the what I always find interesting is the Trump stuff seems to predate that.
Yep.
And the falling out between the two of them is really interesting in that it's never really been explored. But at the same time, you know, they've had this falling out, but neither one of them has really, you know, had publicly said anything bad. And then you've got Donald Trump running around wishing Ghislaine Maxwell well and kind of skirting the fact that he ever had this relationship.
See, at what point was he saying stuff like, though, well, you know, yeah, I know that guy, he kind of likes him young. When was that?
Well, so that was like at the height of Epstein's, that's like the Vanity Fair article, the Vicky Ward stuff.
Right. Okay.
You know, and that's like at the height of that. And again, yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, he's a great guy. I love him.
He just kind of likes him a little young. It's like, ooh, way too, like, really underwhelmingly.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And I mean, you can tell too, like, how dated, you know, I mean, nobody would talk like that now, you know, right?
Right.
Like, you would just be, you would not have a career in, you know, business or,
I mean, imagine
politics
saying that now. Yeah, Epstein was okay, but he sort of liked him a little young. If you said that now as a reaction to, didn't you know that guy? People would be like,
right,
what,
yeah,
the hell,
yeah,
is
exactly
wrong with you?
You would be like, railroad. You'd, yeah, be like, done,
I mean,
with your career.
Right. Okay. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, but I think it's, that's the thing. It's always been about turning Epstein, turning one's relationship with Epstein into a political weapon, mm-hmm, to use against other people. And I'm not sure what the machinations behind this Wall Street Journal piece, but it does seem, you know, very pointed. I mean, William Burns is actively the CIA director.
Right.
I just pulled up, you know, Fox News, but a Fox News reporting on the fact that, you know, the White House isn't going to comment on William Burns' relationship with Epstein,
right,
which is just sort of like, come on, guys! Like it's there. I mean, this is not Radar Online. This is the Wall Street Journal. This is one of the biggest newspapers in the world reporting on this. You've got to say, mm-hmm, something. But either way, that, you know, it's interesting that that's coming now again too. When you just mentioning, you know, you've got this senior citizen running for president again. No disrespect to seniors out there, but, you know, this guy is very unpopular, very old.
Economy's in the toilet. Yawn, by the,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million, yeah, things you can blame on Biden, which are, you know, many of them are super legitimate. Some of them are just, you know, you're always going to blame who's ever in power, but, you know, it doesn't look good for him. And now to have this as well, I mean, that again, it feels sort of deliberate. I think that more a part of it that's more interesting is who really cares that William Burns. I mean, how many people, when I first saw the name William Burns, I had to think. I was like, well, how do I know that name? I was,
yep,
like, oh right, CIA.
Yep.
You know, it was you know, so I don't know how clued in people are to you know, people like that. And also, I don't know if that many people really care. I mean, I think that's interesting, is that the you know, one of the reasons I stopped recording and stuff was, you know, the Epstein stuff had become so big, and it was such a, right, you know, people were making all this money off Epstein. Now, I feel like it's kind of like old hat. You know, it's kind of boring. Who really cares? Whatever. He's dead.
Well, it
Russell's in prison.
But again, let's recognize, just with a couple of minutes here and a couple of sentences from a Wall Street Journal article published on the 21st, okay, which opens. This is the opening paragraph, just really quickly for the listener, in case you haven't read it yourself. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company had ties to Jeffrey Epstein that ran deeper than the bank has acknowledged, okay, mm-hmm, and extended years beyond when it decided to close the convicted sex offender's accounts, according to people familiar with the matter. Now, pause. According to people familiar with the matter, okay, this becomes murky. This is a very general open statement, and it implies, again, we're having, you know, banking troubles too, Pierce, don't forget that. Mm. You know, in the midst of all this other stuff going on, but let's go back to it. Let's see. Mary Erotis, a top lieutenant to chief executive Jimmy Dimon, D-I-M-O-N. I always forget how to pronounce these things.
Diamond.
Okay. Made two trips to Epstein's townhouse on Manhattan's Upper East Side in 2011 and 2013, when Epstein still was a client of the bank, said the people familiar with the matter. She exchanged dozens of emails with him and discussed sharing with him fees related to a charitable fund that the bank was considering launching, the people said. So this is, you know, 2011, 2013. They're talking about a new venture with the guy, and it's a charitable organization. Now, you know, he gets into it further later on, but I'm just saying, this is still, he's got the money, even though they closed his accounts, right? And they're supposed to be not really doing business with them. They still are. Is that the bombshell that they're making it out to be, Pierce? Or is this just some added hype? And is there a specific reason why J.P. Morgan has hovered over here? What do you think?
I think that the J.P. Morgan stuff, and if people are interested, they should look at this guy, Statley, who worked at J.P. Morgan and then at Barclays, and he's involved in a lot of allegations. I think that is actually one of the bigger bombshells, is the closeness that J.P. Morgan had for this guy who, again, who knows how much money he really had, you know, and who was this guy that J.P. Morgan, you know, that Jamie Dimon and, again, Statley was like head of J.P. Morgan, you know, in the U.S. These guys are meeting, they're going over to his house. You know, Epstein's not going into to J.P. Morgan's, conference room. They're going over to him. I think that is really interesting. And I think that, you know, there's more to it than, he was just a client. They're trying to come up with some sort of charitable organization. What I will say on that, because the banking stuff is interesting, is remember that, all these other, massive crime figures, people that are way worse, you know, than Epstein, and I know that sounds crazy. You know, Epstein is like the worst, according to many people on the internet. But you're talking about like drug lords, war criminals. They all bank with J.P. Morgan,
right?
You know, and you know they're moving truly billions of dollars in, you know, cocaine money and stuff like that in and out of these banks. That's how these banks really operate.
Exactly.
And that's why they're so big and they're so powerful, is because that this is where people go to hide their money, to launder their money. So that, I think, is the that's like the real threat, is what was Epstein doing for J.P. Morgan?
Right.
You know, I don't think it's the other way around. People like to make this out that, you know, oh, Jamie Dimon and these other people, they were almost like, you know, beholden to him. I think it's more, what were they getting out of this relationship? That, to me, is the interesting thing. The stuff with Statley, what's fascinating about that is that he seems to have actually been an active participant in abuse, mm-hmm, with Epstein.
Right.
So, you know, but, yeah, I think that the J.P. Morgan stuff is really interesting. Also, they keep kind of you know, changing their, oh, well, oh, yes, I guess it the relationship technically did go on a little bit longer. I would not be surprised if the other bombshell is that, well, actually, we didn't really cut off our relationship with him when we said we did.
Mm. Yeah, and will there be any more bombshells? I mean, are we literally still, you know, cyberbullying the dead horse? I don't know. I might just call this podcast
that.
You know, like, here we go. Is anything going to come of this? I mean, eventually, how long are they going to keep telling us that there's going to be a, you know, the big drop, right? The big dirt is going to come up. It's got to come up. This is why Ghislaine is still alive. This is why, yep. Whatever. I don't know, man. I no longer know what to make of this at all, to be honest with you. I don't know what it means. I don't know what use it has. I'm waiting to see somebody pick up the weapon. I can certainly see it could be weaponized, but I don't see anybody going to grab it. Nobody's grabbing this pistol for the duel, you know?
No, it's only for these like little tiny skirmishes. The Wall Street Journal is going to publish some stuff about this, and in a few days it will be forgotten. No one is going to care. And to an extent, I don't even really care anymore. You know, these are like so minor in terms of like the real kind of like crimes that that this cabal of individuals is committing. That's again, if you're thing. Talking about JP Morgan, this is a bank that launders money for drug traffickers, you know, people way, you're talking about like sexual trafficking, people that are like actual, you know, like worldwide sex traffickers making, you know, billions of dollars.
That have giant syndicates doing this on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like Epstein is small potatoes compared to, you know, some of these other people.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, to a large extent, I mean, who cares? It's not that interesting. And again, it's mostly these sort of, there's nothing all that crazy. The crazy stuff is, I think, a little bit is this Statley character, because he does seem to have actually been like participating in abuse. So that is interesting, in, you know, that you've got this banking official running around with him. But no, I mean, William Burns, and I don't know what him and Chomsky were talking about, but I don't think we're really going to learn much about that. And I don't think that, you know, again, I don't think it's going to take down anyone. This is just, it does seem like it is something that is trotted out to kind of reassure people of a certain political bent. Oh yeah, this guy is bad, and the people he associates with are bad, and you know, we've got to vote against them no matter what.
Right. Well, and that could be just the whole point of it, the broad brush and the stroke of it. So with that, Pierce Redmond, lately you haven't been all that active. You got anything to point anybody to as we go on out the door here? Or no, just stay tuned and coming in the near future?
Yeah, stay tuned. Hopefully there'll be more. I mean, yeah, you can go to PorkinsPolicyReview.com. There's tons of stuff there. It's all a little old. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. You can check out my YouTube channel as well. It's all linked there. But yeah, that's where I would go. But there's not, but this will be there.
Well, now that I know that I have the option again of calling upon you, you know, I just might do that. And I got a few culture things to go over with you. A few pop culture things, a few,
We haven't discussed. I've been watching Picard too, so we could, I've been catching up on it. So we could definitely do some Star Trek.
So you know that it's over, right?
I do. I'm still like on the second season. I'm like super behind.
Okay, cool. But also, Discovery has been announced that they are going to bring that to a conclusion as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you and I could get into some Star Trek, because man, oh man, boy, did I enjoy some of the really ridiculous on the nose fan service in Picard. But
I'm loving Picard. I'll just say I know people didn't like it, but I actually really enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you this, if you're enjoying second season, the third season, in my opinion, the second season was staggering, and the third season, the ship was righted. A lot of it, again, fan service, very obvious, you know, they're sort of coddling the TNG fan quite a bit.
I'm okay with that.
But it's okay. And yeah. I'll tell you something else. It's just, it's very interesting. A lot of it. And I can't wait to see what it is you think of it. Not just on a typical level either, you know, a standard pedestrian level. But, and you and I haven't discussed South Park in a while either.
What's to discuss?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like they don't even care.
You know what? That is a good way to spoil the entire podcast I could do with you right there about it.
Yeah. Okay. No, we can still do something on it.
We can. And of course, because you had mentioned your sister, I was thinking, you know, a couple of years ago, you and me and your sister were doing a rotating thing of discussing South Park in different podcasts there, which was pretty funny. And also, you know, there is now officially a Mrs. Porkins too. So, yes. Listeners might not know that.
Have Mrs. Porkins on.
So we could have the Mrs. Porkins discussion one day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure Amy would be up for that.
Anyway, that's my nod to her. Whether she wants to do it or not, I don't know, but I'll ask. And anyways, so we'll be catching up with you a lot more in the very near future. And you guys out there, no matter what, remember this. No matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect.